Amen. Thank you guys so much. That was wonderful. Whew. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here, guys. I'm just down here crying. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach. Just because when His love comes, I want everybody to know that this church is under attack. It's really no different than any other time, I guess, but I want you to know the church is under attack. And if you ever want to see me get angry, it'll be because somebody is being lied to or is lying about someone. I get angry about that. That just comes up out of me. I can't help it. Very bothered by it. When the enemy attacks and there is discord within the church, I want everybody to know that is from the enemy. So you can reject it. Kick it out of you. It's not from God. Work it out in the presence of God. That is our honor, our privilege, our right. That's what we get to do. We get to take the high road with the Lord because He's already paved the way. So I just want to speak that over us. God has already won. Amen. This is finished. It's a finished work that we're going through. We've got another Q&A session tonight. I want to urge every single person to be there tonight. Whether you have already decided one way or the other way and you don't think you need to come because you've already decided, no. You need to be present with your brothers and sisters in this moment where God gets to speak to you. It doesn't matter which side of this that you're on, the Holy Spirit can speak to you in a moment and can either have you say something that will change the whole atmosphere within or change a person's life just like that, or He can change your mind in a way that you need your mind to be changed. And I'm not here to get into all of what I think of all that. I'm just saying, be present tonight. Because the Spirit of the Lord is present. This is His church. The great shepherd of the sheep is overshadowing me right now. And I'm very aware of that. I am a weak and broken person, but He has forgiven me. It's just unbelievable. I do not deserve to be here saying anything, but Jesus paid the price for me so that I could stand here and do this. And I'm just blown away by it sometimes. Oh God, please let my brothers and sisters hear Your heart. And may we receive all that You paid for. For You suffered for us so that we could walk with You together. Jesus, please open the eyes of our heart. Help us to hear Your words. Help us to know Your presence. Help us to know the difference between a lie and the truth. There are people being lied to in our church right now that are suffering because of the enemy. They're deceived. And it hurts me. And it bothers me. And we need to be praying that people get free. That's what the church is here for, to be free, to love, to know the One who paid the price. This morning next week is Easter. I've got a dual message that I had to kind of cut in half, and so I'm going to give you the first half of it this week and the next half next week. I've just learned so much personally from preparing for this today. So I'm excited to share some of it. Some of it may be new thought. I don't know. You study it through. But today I want to talk about the purpose and the Christology of the sacrificial system. What is it? We call it the scarlet thread that runs through the entirety of Scripture. The scarlet thread, referencing the blood of Jesus, the royal blood of Jesus Christ, which is at the heartbeat of this book and is also the centerpiece of all eternity. So where did the scarlet thread begin? I want to first reference, this is one of those mind-bending truths to us, but Isaiah 46:10, 9 and 10 tells us that God declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done. It's getting into a theology that is true. God is outside of time and space. He is not stuck here with us. Now, He is present with us in time, but He's outside of time. He's greater than we can imagine. I used to tell the youth when I was a youth pastor, there is no clock on the wall in heaven. Doesn't exist. It's not there. So God's outside of time and space. Now, because of that, God uses that to His advantage. So God knew what was going to happen. Before it happened, God knew it was going to happen. That's what being outside of time affords you, the ability to know everything beforehand. So nothing catches God by surprise, as we've talked about this many times. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. It's a stunning, stunning verse. That we're blameless before Him. And that's what He saw and knew before the foundation of the world. Stunning. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So again, where or when did this scarlet thread begin? Well, Revelation 13:8 gives us a clue to that. Revelation 13:8 says this, and all who dwell on the earth will worship Him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So where did the scarlet thread begin? It began before the foundation of the world. It says He was slain. Now this is stunning for us because our little pea brains just can't handle much. You know, our bandwidth is small and God's is infinite. But this is one of those things we just have to, that's why we need a spirit. The spirit can catch these things up. Our soul just gets its little mind blown. But this happened before the foundation. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, when God created man, we must acknowledge that He created us with bodies that contain DNA. DNA did not suddenly appear or become a part of the human condition at the fall. DNA was the foundation to God's creation. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so you guys just follow me. Adam was created special, handmade by God, and then God breathed into his nostrils the breath or the Spirit of God. That's Genesis 2:7, and man became a living soul, it says. Now, it also says that we were created in His image and His likeness. Now, what that means is that Adam was very much like God. There was a resemblance. We talked a lot about this when we talked about our created purpose, which was like we were in a dance with God. We were supposed to be made in such a way that we are God's shadow, very much like Him. We're supposed to be two peas in a pod, created for union with God, intimate relationship. That's what this whole thing was started for, union. That's why he gave us spirit. That's why he made us in his image and likeness. For union. And then secondly, so that we could represent him. So we could have communion with him and union with him. And then we could represent him well. That's why he created us the way that he created us. And Adam was very much like God in that sense. Now, the fall of man was devastating. Even devastating to man's DNA. His very makeup was shifted. All life on earth has a genetic architecture. Plants, animals, every living thing has a genetic structure, a code. However, the human genome and DNA are different than any other. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:39, Paul talks about this. He says, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Now, that scripture is detailing out the dominion-based genetic hierarchy of man over every other type of flesh. That's in Genesis 1:26. And I thought, as soon as I did that, I added this later to my notes here because I thought about that genetic code. And I thought of John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. It says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Man, that's a powerful scripture. So Christians must recognize DNA is in the fabric of creation, and the method God used to encode his unseen, immeasurable nature in humanity and in creation. Now, let me just cut to the chase here. God knew exactly what it was going to take to get his man back. He knew what it was going to take. It was going to take the shedding of divine blood. The divine DNA had to be reintroduced into the world again. And there is only one being, friends, who could possibly do that. God knew that Jesus' divine blood was going to have to be spilled at the hands of those who he wanted to redeem. This was the only way to reintroduce divine DNA and to reclaim, to recapture his original intention of union and representation as he desired. Now, we know Hebrews 9:22 explains this. Well, this is a passage we talk about quite a bit when we talk about without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But let me read that. Hebrews 9:19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer once, suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So again I say, God knew what it was going to take. His own Son's divine blood, which would reintroduce divine DNA that Adam and Eve lost at the fall. But how would he pull that off? This is kind of the line of thought that I got through, and I was looking at all this stuff, and I was saying, God, please let me say this well so they catch what I'm seeing. Y'all know the gifting of a good comedian? Timing. I knew that came from a movie once I heard. I even blew that. He said it much better. But it's true, it's timing. You know, people that are really gifted at getting a point across, they set up the stage and then bam, right at the right time. It's like, gotcha. And I was saying, God, please let me say this right. Wouldn't that be cool? But God's Spirit's good enough. He can say it without me being awesome. But how's God going to pull this off? How is God going to get his divine Son to spill his blood by the very ones that he wanted to redeem? How is he going to do that? How would that be accomplished? I hadn't really ever thought of these things. But did y'all know God is an absolute genius? The gospel is just stunning. It is stunning when the Spirit of the Lord shows it to you, when you can see it. So let me track with me here. So God creates, everything's perfect, and on that seventh day of creation, we don't know how long that perfection went on, but eventually Satan comes and deceives, and Adam and Eve fall for it, and God loses his planet and his people. However, remember, Jesus' blood was shed before the foundation of the world. See, this was already, God knew these things were going to take place. Everything is set, and that's when God's masterful plan begins. Genesis 3:15. This is right after the fall, and God is now addressing the enemy and Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:15 is the first prophecy in Scripture. You guys are familiar with this. It says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Seed, y'all catch that word seed? That's DNA. Did y'all catch that? "Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So that's the first prophecy, that the seed of the woman would destroy the enemy. That's what he's letting the enemy know. Through this woman, I'm taking you out. And you know the enemy just because he knows God's a pretty smart guy. He knows what's going on here. It's like, there ain't no way, man. Ain't no way. It's not going to happen. So the curse enters. Sin, the death cycle, pain and misery and suffering and all of those things that we know in this broken world. We know Lee last week went over Genesis 3:21 that God shed the blood of animals to cover for Adam and Eve's nakedness. Remember, they originally just went out and got them some fig leaves, and he said, "No, there's got to be bloodshed for this type of offense." Now, why is he doing that? Why? Because he's setting the stage for his Son. See, because he's got to set the stage for his divine Son's blood to be spilt. And it begins right out of the gate right there. So he fashions them some clothes, and God's master plan was instituted. The shedding of blood from innocent animals to cover for many sins. Now, throughout the story of God, if you know the story, this is His story. It's history. It's a story. It's a love story. It's a beautiful story. It tracks. And everybody who is a Christian should know the whole story from beginning to ending, to know the flow of how this all panned out. It's the only way you get to know the character of the one we serve. He's a promise keeper. If He said it, it's done. You can count on it. And you get to know Him through these stories. And in these stories, you find yourself. You find your own problems. You find your own issues. The Apostle Paul talks about these things and how those Old Testament stories are for us today. So in the story of God, He chooses Abraham. He calls out little people of His own. We know Abraham and Isaac. Abraham has the supernatural son Isaac that was born to him. That we know that story. They have a very prophetic foreshadowing that occurs on Mount Moriah. I think Joey touched on this Wednesday night, right? Talked about that foreshadowing. I know Joey talked about it, but it's just so stunning to me that the foreshadowing, the prophetic imaging, the things God did to prove Himself. Again, this is how He used being outside of time and space to His advantage, because He lets these things happen in such a way that it's like there's no way, there's no human could have come up with this. This has to be a divine being who's powerful enough to set all this stuff up. It's what gives us assurance about we serve a living God. This is real. So Abraham offers Isaac because God tells him to on Mount Moriah. Of course, we know there's a ram that was caught in the bush, and the angel stops him and says, "No, don't do it. I just wanted to see if you would do it." And Abraham was going to do it. And that happens on the very spot that 2,000 years later, God the Father would offer His Son. And He would be sacrificed. But see, again, all it is just a big setup for us to set the stage for the one and only, to do the one and only thing, to shed the one and only substance that can make all of this better. So if you know this about the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament is pointing towards this sacrifice of the divine Son of God. It's said in a little phrase this way, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. And the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. And the cross is the key that opens the whole thing up. It's all about the cross. The Old Testament points towards it. The New Testament points back towards it. It's all about Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. That's where we go to receive new life. And there is no other place to go. God will give you a new divine DNA and a brand new life that never existed beforehand. This is how He did it. His solution was execution. And that's the only way that it happens, folks. You can't take your old man and just work on it a little bit. Try to add a habit here or there. It'll be all right. I'm mostly okay. I just need to work on a couple things. No, death is the solution. You got to go to the cross. You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him uphill to your own crucifixion. That's the only way. Now God gives you a new life on the other side of that. It's understanding that. I know that's spiritual. I know that takes revelation knowledge to get it. Not just any human can roll up on this stuff and get it. It is God's miracle to reveal this to you and I. But He will reveal it. Especially if you're ready to give it all up. He says, when you're ready to find me and you give everything you got, there I'll be. The problem is, we're ready to give a fourth or a half. We're in this American fast food, give it to me now, my way type of mentality. It's not the gospel. It's not the Bible. It's not the way. You're going to be half cooked and you're going to make God look bad. Ask me how I know that. It drives me crazy. I'm going to stop. I'll start crying. Jesus Christ is on every single page of the Old Testament if you know where to look. If you know how to study your Bible, He's there on every single page. It's astonishing. It's astounding. But God went out of His way to let us know who the Son of God is. It is an unmistakable thing when you look into it with an open heart and you desire the truth. The cross of Jesus Christ unlocks it all. It's all found on the cross. Everything points to the cross of Jesus Christ. But think about it. And this is what I was thinking about as I was preparing this. What if Jesus just showed up on planet Earth and got himself in trouble and got himself killed on a cross without any backstory? Would it make any sense at all? Would anybody believe that he's God's son? It just wouldn't make sense, would it? This is the beauty of how God goes through. He takes his time and he sets the stage beautifully and perfectly, working through this relationship with broken men that he can't trust. They're not going to be faithful. He's faithful. They're not faithful. He's working this story into humanity. He's setting this up. He even goes through makes a covenant with Abraham, knocks Abraham out just to get him out of the way, and cuts a covenant with himself. It's like, I got to get myself in there so I can have something to count on, so I can make this happen. Listen, guys, if all of us flake out, the enemy still has to deal with Jesus. This isn't on us, thank goodness. But it's on him. So let's think about this. The sacrificial system was instituted, okay, first in the garden. We talked about that. Then all these foreshadowings are all over the Old Testament, one of those being with Abraham and Isaac and the ram. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his one and only miracle child son. Then later on, that first Passover in Egypt, killing that perfect little lamb, putting its blood on the doorposts so the death angel would pass over. Then later on in Mount Sinai, Moses in the wilderness and the tabernacle, all of that stuff, God gave Moses exactly what to do. Exactly. He said, do it this way. Don't you err in any way. Exactly like this. They institute this yearly observance of the Passover, the killing and the sacrificing of that little perfect lamb. Now, what was God doing in all this? He was building a stage for his son, the one and only, with divine DNA. He's building a stage for his son to stand up on to say, I am the Savior of the world, so that we couldn't miss him. Unless you just want to miss him. There's a lot of people that want to miss him. If you don't want to miss him, you can't miss him. God set it up so well. He will give us new life by this divine DNA that he brings forth. Now, God, knowing the end from the beginning, that's why he takes his time to build this stage through all the prophecies. You know how many prophecies were given throughout that time period, 1,500 years? That God was giving a little piece here and a little piece there about what this Savior would do, what he would be like, who he would be given birth to. And I'm getting into next week's message a little bit. But it's stunning to me how it's done. Galatians 4, 4 and 6. Oh man, that's a powerful passage of Scripture. Let's take a look at that real quick. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. See, it's at the fullness of time. It is at a perfect time. And I'm going to talk next week about the perfect time that he comes into the world. If you know world history and the world powers that had come up to that time period, the world power of Greece being taken over by the world power of Rome, and how the Greco-Roman world came together. There were some very unique situations that the Son of God was born into for those people in particular, so that Jesus would shine as brightly as he is in the face of all of the awfulness that was a part of the world at that time. Now, I'm going to talk about that next week, so I want to stay on point right here. So what's the purpose and the Christology of the sacrificial system? So we would never miss the amazing, beautiful actions of the one and only perfect Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world for you and for me. That's what it is. That's why it is. That's the only reason it is in the world, to set the stage for him. Here's a key concept. God is not into killing innocent animals. Did y'all know that? He's not into that. He doesn't like doing that. But there was a very good purpose. What we don't understand is how awful sin is. We have no concept of the death that it produces. We're so accustomed to being as fallen as we are, we don't know the glory that we fell from. We just think it's normal sin. God knows, though. He knows what it's doing to us. Sin is so destructive. And God absolutely hates what it does to his beautiful creation that he made. And the way that it destroys the relationship that he wants with them, he hates it. He hates how sin steals from him what he most desires, which is union with you and I. And I just got to thinking about this, and this is kind of where the tears started coming this morning. Can you imagine? Because this is what the Israelites were asked to do. Can you imagine having to kill a little innocent lamb that you've raised up in your home? You know those little lambs, have y'all seen, I've been to somebody that raises them and just seen a little baby lamb. They are the cutest things you have ever seen. Just totally helpless. And you talk about a problem in my house. If my kids raised up a little lamb, only to know that dad shows up one day and says, oh, we got to slice its throat. You know what it would do to my kids? You know what it would do to me? I would be a complete wreck. I don't know if I'd survive it, guys. I'd be trauma. I'd be over. I'd be done. Just kill me. I can't even handle it. Because I have a soft heart when it comes to animals. Y'all imagine sacrificing your dog? Phyllis, can you imagine doing that? No. They'll say, you come to my house and do that, I got something for you, wouldn't you? So I know how much we enjoy our animals, right? So why would God have us do that? Because it's the only way to show. It's the only way to get across to you what sin does. That we've got to kill this poor thing to cover for this awfulness. It just gets the point across. Why would we do this? Can you see your kids crying out, why would we do this? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because the sin separates us from God. We don't have any concept of it, guys. We're so separated from God, it just feels normal to us. The point that it would make to the heart that sin is this awful, it is this horrifying. I cannot imagine doing that to a poor little animal. But that's what they had to do. And you know why they had to do it? Because God the Father was building a stage for a people to know that when the final, perfect, sinless, divine Son takes His place as a lamb, surrenders Himself to heartless, hateful humans to be tortured in ways we cannot even imagine, just to prove the love that He has for His creation. It is stunning, guys. It is stunning. Sin is so horrifying, and we've become so callous to it. We just sin and we don't blink an eye. We're just so hard-hearted. And I'm not talking about you. I can talk about me. I can look at the guy in the mirror and I can just talk about me. The hardness of my heart over sin. I just do it flippantly. Can I just confess to you? I'm a sinful person. And we all are. And we've lost our touch. We've lost a sense of what sin has done to humanity. And we've lost, how many Easters have we gone through and gone through the same services and heard the same sermons, and we have our traditions and we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and we're part of all these things. I just wonder sometimes, what are we doing? If this isn't getting into the heart, if we're accustomed to sin, if we're accustomed to discord, the smallest little thing happens in this group and we go off and find another church. We let the enemy just totally trick us, deceive us. And the sacrifice of the Savior is just not enough. Am I telling the truth? Am I the only one that thinks these things? Jesus, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us, and please, Father, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord God. Please, Lord. Please have mercy on us, Lord. We need your mercy so badly. God, cover us with your precious blood. We do believe that you're the sinless, perfect Son of God and that you covered it. You covered us. Lord God, may we not be flippant over our sin, Lord. May we repent from the deepest of our hearts, Lord God. May we live as if it mattered. Jesus, help us. Please, Father, would you sensitize us? Would you awaken us? Would you give us a new heart that you promised? Jesus says twice in the book of Matthew, he quotes Hosea 6:6. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are there any sinners in the room? Are we confessing our sins? Are we letting that blood cover each and every one of them? Or are there some that we're just thinking we're justified to have? He died for us. He just wants us to admit that we need a Savior. And He needs us to bring exactly what we've done to Him and step into the light and be cleansed and maybe even share it with another believer. You may encourage them. It's not that you have to confess everything, but what if you could tell them something that lifts them up out of the dumps? The enemy's taking advantage of us all. We're in this together. Your sin affects me and my sin affects you. This is serious. If we do that, guys, he will give us a new creation life. He will give you divine DNA. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. That is divine seed that God wants to bring to life in you and in me. He wants us to learn how to live a lifestyle of Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, which is take off the old life and put on the new life by confessing your sin to God and others and be free from sin. Stop the sin. Jesus says, make my sacrifice count because it's the only one you're getting and it is more than enough. Jesus, may we be sensitized to the power of your cross. Lord God, may we actually be true Christians who deny ourselves, who take up our cross, and who follow you, Lord Jesus. May the Spirit of Christ fill your people, Lord. Because Jesus shed his divine blood, we can be born again by divine DNA. And then we can live from the incorruptible word. Every incorruptible word that comes out of the mouth of God, we can live by it. We can stand up and we can make Jesus as famous as he is, as he fills us. Even as Jesus had the Father living through him, we can have Jesus in us, living through us. So that we could say, if you've seen me, you've seen Christ Jesus. None of us are perfect, don't get me wrong, but there are flashes of brilliance that will come through the sons and daughters of God. Father, I ask you, open our eyes to see our potential, our capacity, and may we give you everything that you paid for, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. And I speak your blessings over my brothers and sisters here, even as I speak them over myself. We need you desperately, Lord. Thank you for what you did. Joey, if your team will come, this is a time of invitation. This is a time, guys, to get it right. Every moment of every day is a moment to get it right. But right now is a time to get it right. To get rid of the things that you know is not the, it's not God, it's the enemy stirring things up. Rebel. Rebel against the enemy. Ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit. Ask God to bless this church to hear his voice so clearly that we're all in one accord in what we're doing and why we're doing it. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. If all of you would stand. Now's the time for decision. Any decision that you'd like to make, we would love to pray for you here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus. Anything and everything can be done at the altar. Brother Lee's here, and I'm here. Joey.
I surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
If the deacons would come forward real quick, you guys can be seated. We're going to pray real quick and we'll be out of here. But Scott is having an ablation this week and we just want to pray over him. So let's anoint him and just agree with the Lord and ask for God's blessing over him. And so, Father, we just anoint Scott, just representing the Spirit of the living God that is within him. Lord, we're so grateful that your word, Lord Jesus, because of what you accomplished, you said, out of the innermost being, rivers of living water shall flow. And we just agree with that, Father, and we call forth those rivers of living water. It's your Spirit is what you identified that river to be, the Spirit of Almighty God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave and quickens Scott's mortal body to life. We just call it forth, Lord God, and we pray for the Spirit of grace over Scott. And as he goes through this procedure this week, that your presence continue to be with him. We pray, Father, that doctors and nurses would be on point, would be fully in your strength and in your precision. Lord God, we're asking for your Spirit to go before and subdue the enemy. Father, we're praying for Scott's heart just to be in perfect rhythm, Lord God. We're asking for perfect communication from one cell to the other, from one organ to the other, from his brain to his heart. We're asking your blessing over his life. Lord God, we thank you for what you've called Scott to do, and we now pray that his body would get into alignment with that calling so that he can glorify you in all that he does. Father, fill him with your peace and your blessing, and fill the room with your holy presence. And Lord, we love you and thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray in agreement. Amen. And amen. Awesome. Awesome. Again tonight, we're leaving right now, I promise. I know it's a little long, but Spirit of God is just present. He's working. He's moving. Let's agree with him. Let's watch God do things that would blow your mind when we say yes to him. And when we represent him, that's what I'm so excited about. I see these things, and Lord, I just want these things to take place. May we stand in agreement, and may they happen. I want to again urge each and every one of you to be here present tonight. We'll be in the fellowship hall. We need the body to be together because God, we all have the mind of Christ. Nobody has the single mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And when we are together, then that mind can speak. And the Lord loves to speak through us all. He doesn't give it all to one guy. He gives it to all of us because we are his body. So please, if you can at all, please come tonight, be prayed up, and be ready to hear the Lord speak to us because that's what he's doing. God bless you guys, and we will see you tonight.